talk to you today about fruit and about foundations. And this Bible verse that Lillian so beautifully read talked about trees bearing fruit, and then about the wise builder and the foolish builder. They're really good images, aren't they? We can really picture those. And there's a natural order of things. You know, we kind of understand it. It's the physics, it's the biology of it. It's the biology of the tree and the physics of the building. You know, I like science, it's good. When we got an allotment in January 2021, beginning of 2021, we got an allotment. And it had been rotivated, so it was all kind of mushed up and it was all just flattened. And there was just weeds, it seemed, growing in it. And we set about weeding. And as spring started, a few things started to just pop up that we had no idea. Well, suddenly an asparagus just sprouted. I had no idea there was asparagus there. Thank you to whoever planted that before. It obviously got rotivated over and then managed to still survive that. Down at one end of our allotment, we had a tree. And when we first got the allotment, we looked at this tree and it looked dead. And we wondered what on earth this tree might be. We cleared round it and we pruned it back. I followed some instructions in a book and had no idea what I was doing. And we waited. And then as spring sprung, little blossoms appeared. And we were like, ooh, I wonder what it is. It's alive. It's doing something. I wonder what it is. And we were having a bit of a guessing game in our family, or, you know, what kind of tree might it be? Is it apple? Could it be apple? And then the leaves appeared, and then the blossoms started to fall, and leaving behind teeny tiny little pears. Ha! We had a pear tree. We didn't know. It was exciting. We knew the tree by the fruit that it was producing. We knew the tree by the fruit that it was bringing. But the point of this image, when Jesus is talking about this, is not to give us a biology lesson. That's not the point of why he's saying this. Everybody at that time would have known that whatever tree it is would produce that fruit. That's just the natural order of things. No, what he was talking about is the part where it says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. So the point of this is, it's about our human heart. If it's a pear tree, it will produce pears. If it's a bramble bush, it will produce thorns and some blackberries. We know what it is by the fruit that it produces. And so it is with a human heart. It seems quite obvious, really. And just as good things can come from our heart, evil comes from people's hearts too. Our thoughts and our plans, we can concoct all sorts of things in our minds and our hearts that are both good or could be evil. Now, where does that come from? Sometimes you see in the news and you see, gosh, how on earth did that person think of doing that? And they've just been caught and put in prison for it. How on earth did they conceive of that idea to go and do that to that person or that in that situation? But it's out of the heart these ideas come, and then these people put them into practice, whether that's for good or for evil. And in my Bible, it talks about the treasure of your heart. Out of the good treasure of your heart brings forth good. And out of the evil treasure of your heart, of a person's heart, brings forth evil. And then it says in verse 45, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And I thought it was really interesting because that Jesus is talking about whatever's in your heart kind of overflows. And I don't know if any of you have got a in your garden, got a water feature. and you turn it on, and it takes a little while for it to kind of like the pressure to build up, and then it kind of, it suddenly just bubbles over and pours over into whatever it is that is the receptacle for the water. You know, can you imagine, can you picture something like that? You've got water bubbling up inside, and the pressure in the pump is getting it going, it bubbling up inside, and then suddenly over it flows, and then it's over, and then it's just doing its thing after that, isn't it, where it's just constantly cycling round. And I imagine it to be a bit like that. Whatever's in our hearts, you can't contain it. It is going to show. It is going to show, and it's going to bubble up. And Jesus is saying that it comes out of your mouth. Comes out of your mouth. And it's quite obvious what is in people's hearts if you're listening to them speaking. It's a bit scary. A man speaks what the heart is full of, is what it says in the NIV. It's a bit of a challenge, really, because what is my heart full of? What's your heart full of? What is your heart full of? The treasure in our hearts will become visible, and it will be heard at some point. Sometimes we just try really hard, don't we, to kind of control it. I'm going to control my tongue today. I am not going to say anything. I am going to button my lip. I'm not going to say anything at all. And we try and have more self-control. We try and be nicer people. But actually, what Jesus is saying here, that it's not necessarily a self-control issue. It can be curtailed by self-control. But actually, it's a heart issue. Because what's in our heart, the treasure in our heart, is what will overflow. We need a change of heart. You can all probably think of people who have got bitterness or cynicism, or they're miserable, or they're angry, and they manage to make everything, you know, even a cup of tea or something quite inanimate would become, you know, annoyed or bitter or angry about those things. But then you also see people who are in seemingly joyless situations who have got incredible joy. You see people who are in turmoil, utter turmoil, and they somehow seem to have peace. They seem to be calm and peaceful. So it's about what's in your heart, not necessarily about what's going on around you. It's about what's in our hearts. So let's have a think about how we have a good heart. We have to turn to Jesus, obviously. But I think the next part of this passage, where Jesus talks about building on the rock, I think that really helps us to understand how we can have a good heart and how we can have good fruit and show what is in our heart. In verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" So Jesus is speaking. This is in Luke. It's actually the Sermon on the Plain, which echoes the Sermon on the Mount. I didn't even realize there was a Sermon on the Plain until I was reading all of this. There's a Sermon on the Plain, and there's a Sermon on the Mount, and it's obviously the same kind of thing that Jesus was preaching wherever he went. This is really important, really important. And he's speaking to people who are following him and believing in him, but also people who are religious people as well. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" It's possible to call Jesus Lord and not do what he's asking you to do, and not be really following him. We can say Lord, but not necessarily be following him and his commands and his instructions. In verse 47 it says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, that is like the person building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation. And then when the floods came and the stream beat and the rain came, he could not be shaken because he was founded on the rock. Unlike the person who built a house on the earth without a foundation, and it fell when the storms came, and it was destroyed. So here Jesus is saying, whoever comes to me hears my sayings and does them. That's the person who has a firm foundation in their lives. Wow, that's quite a challenge. No one wants to be like the person with the dodgy, wobbly foundation. No one wants to be like that person. We've probably all seen photos of houses destroyed by earthquakes and floods, or in America, houses turned to matchsticks by a wind, a strong wind or a hurricane or whatever, and the houses are literally just shattered. We've seen a number of images of Indonesia and other countries where there's lots of earthquakes and houses are literally just destroyed by earthquakes. Nobody wants that. We've all seen those kind of images. Nobody wants that in our lives, don't we? I'm very grateful that we have good, strong houses in this country. That when we do have a bit of rain and a bit of a wind, actually, in the main, we might lose a few tiles, but it's nothing very serious. And again, Jesus isn't asking us to become builders. It's not about the image that he's talking about. It's about the human heart. And really, it's about hypocrisy. It's about the hypocrisy of people saying, Lord, Lord, and not doing the things that he says. If he's our Lord and our Master, if he's our King, then he is the one we're following. That makes sense. But how much are we following? How much are we really doing the things he asks of us? Now, I'm speaking to myself here just as much as everybody else in the room. It's a challenge, and none of us are there yet. None of us are there yet. We are all a work in progress. Thank the Lord, he has grace for me. Because all of us are learning, and we're all growing, and we're all changing all the time. But the key is, we need to come to Jesus, we need to hear his words, and we need to do them. So we need to be really listening. We need to be really listening to what he's asking of us. And that might actually look different for different people. It's really easy to go, oh, that person over there, oh, they're not following God very well. But actually, that might be something that God has asked them to do. My husband's a helicopter pilot. He's been called into a job that there is absolutely no way that I could do. And I'm sure we all have different skills and different interests that God calls us into. We have to listen really carefully to what God is calling each one of us individually to do. That's about us knowing Jesus, giving our lives to him, following him for ourselves. So, we need to be listening to God. We need to be reading the Bible, praying and hearing what he's saying to us. And then, if we're doing this, he promises us, really, that in this bit, in this passage, he promises us that we will have a firm and strong foundation. Well, I quite like that. It's worth it. I mean, it's great to know God. And it's great to know that that's a possibility, to have a firm foundation, that when the storms come, we are going to have peace and be strong, to have certainty in the chaos, and to have purpose when things get tough. We'll be unwavering, like a strong tower with a really firm foundation. In John 16, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. He said it. We're going to have trouble. But take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. So we need to lean into him even more, especially as things are so shifting sand at the moment all around us. Everything's changing all around us. We can stand firm and stand. We can stand with the armor of God on, knowing that we're standing on a firm foundation in him. So, where are your foundations this morning? Are they in Christ or are they elsewhere? How deep are your foundations this morning? Are you seeking Jesus' words for your life? And are you seeing fruit? Are you seeing how different you are this year to how you were last year? You know, this is where it gets a bit tricky, but you might have to ask someone, are you seeing God's fruit in my life? Am I changing? Are you seeing a change in me? Am I becoming more Christ-like? Am I showing fruit in my life? Is your heart overflowing good? So let's just spend a moment in quiet, just to consider and to seek God. If you've got any questions of God, ask him. Ask him. And I don't know how the tech's working, but we'll spend a moment in quiet, and then I was going to do a final song, but is that going to be possible? Give it a go. I could still do it anyway. I could sing, and you can just join in if you know it, okay? Let's just spend a moment in quiet and just seek God for ourselves. I'm going to sing, I Give You My Heart. It's very simple. We'll sing it through a couple of times, just in case the words don't come up. It's, this is my desire to honour you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. And the chorus is, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, when I'm asleep or I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Okay, so join in if you want, if you can. Or just listen, that's fine too, okay? This is my desire. For I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship. Within me, I give.
give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, when I'm asleep or I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, when I'm asleep or I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, have your way in us. Lord, have your way in us, whether we're asleep, whether we're awake, Lord, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Lord, have your way in us. Psalm 62 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Lord, be our firm foundation. Bear good fruit in us, Lord. So as we go from here today, I just want to pray for us that we would be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I pray for us that we would all put on the full armor of God, so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. And so when the day of evil comes, when the storm comes, we can stand our ground. And after we've done everything, we can stand. Lord, be our firm foundation as we go out from this place. Lord, go with us, go before us, go around us, go next to us and go behind us. Surround us with your presence. And Lord, change our hearts that we can produce the fruit that you want to have in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.